It's the Mayo News Football Podcast. I'm Rob Murphy. All-Ireland final week. We've done this before, John Gunnigan. We've done this many times before, but we have done a run of podcasts on All-Ireland final week before. I remember 2017. I think we at least did three, and we're trying to squeeze in four this week. Sure, we're always trying to better ourselves. That's what we do in Mayo.
Well, that's it, yeah. But I don't think the task facing us this week is the same as in previous years. And certainly the task facing me this evening is not the same. So here we are chatting about the All-Ireland final. And once this is done, I have to go downstairs and sort out the Christmas tree.
14th of December. I know there are a lot of people who will be scratching their head going, what was John Gunnigan doing for the last couple of weeks?
Too late or too early? No.
Too late.
No, geez.
I'm on your side here. I just feel like I need to be done with that.
No. Like you're stuck with the damn thing until the 6th of January. So, you know, you kind of have to. You have to put some kind of time limit on it.
Enough of that. We are looking forward to this. We've watched the hurling. The pitch isn't in great state, but I'm sure it'll recover.
In fairness to that, though, Rob, I mean, there was an absolutely humongous amount of rain up here on Saturday night and early on Sunday as well. So I'm not wholly surprised. I mean, I know the drainage in Croke Park is superb, but the damage was done at that stage, I think, in terms of just how slippy the pitch was. So, I think it was understandable for the hurling. I don't think there's a huge amount of rain forecast certainly in the 48 hours before our game. So hopefully it won't be as bad.
Coming up in this week's podcast, some great voices, including Sheila O'Shea, mum of the Mayo captain, Aidan O'Shea. That's something to look forward to in a wee while, as well as Mick Foley's back on the podcast to make sense of an All-Ireland final week for us. There's no harm getting a Corkonian on the show for that. Mike Finnerty was out and about, though, at Brafin National School last week, and oh boy, did he get a great interview. Talking first to Sean Grealish and then Sheila O'Shea.
Sean Grealish, I'm a teacher here in Brafin National School, and I've had the pleasure of teaching the four lads on the Brafin team who are part of the current Mayo panel at the moment.
You must be very proud, actually, when you put it like that.
We have a huge pride here in the school. All of the teachers and all the children, they really identify with these four players. They're such wonderful role models for all the aspiring Mayo footballers of the future, both boys and girls. And we're so, so proud of them here in Brafin School.
Can you give me an idea? I mean, there was a lot of talk about would schools reopen. There was a lot of talk would a GAA championship go ahead. And here we are now coming into Christmas. Both have happened. Mayo are in the final. And I mean, I can see just from looking around me what it seems to bring and what it seems to mean to the school and to the kids. But can you put into words for me how important Mayo's run to the All-Ireland final has been for your experience as a teacher and for the kids' experience as kids and as students?
Well, obviously, when we came back to school, we were fairly nervous about the whole COVID experience. But the Mayo run to the All-Ireland final has taken the focus away from COVID in the school, and I'm sure in schools all over the county. And the new focus is Mayo football and the wonderful run they've had to the final. And all the new players, the Tommy Conroys and the O'McLaughlins and Oisín Mullins of the world, who have given the county such a lift. And I say here in Brafin in particular, we're so proud of the four boys who are involved. We think there could be a couple more involved, you know, and we'd love if there were. But we're so proud of the four who are, and we wish them every best of luck on Sunday. And I say they have given such a lift to everybody in the whole community, and we're just praying that it'll be our turn this time, that please God, somebody will smile upon us and we'll get the rub of the green, and Sam Maguire will come back to Mayo, maybe not immediately, but sometime in the year 2020-21.
Yeah, we've waited this long, we've been waiting.
Exactly, waited a while longer. But I know it's been a wonderful uplift, and you can hear the excitement among all the boys and girls. They're so thrilled. And so looking forward to the final.
Sheila O'Shea, this is nothing new to you. You've been down this road before, but I'm sure it's as exciting and it's as magical as ever. And this time of year as well. I mean, it adds that little bit extra, doesn't it?
Well, it's funny. If you had asked me that yesterday, I would have probably said no, because everything has been at home and everything has been very low-key. But I walked in this morning, and to hear, as you said, the children roaring and shouting and screaming, and the absolute delight, the colour everywhere, and everybody's so excited. It has just lifted the whole school, and it has lifted everyone around it.
And
we've been here before, and I won't be making any predictions, and I won't be anything like that. I'm just so as a teacher, I'd echo all what Sean has said, like, you know, that it has lifted everybody in the school. But as a parent, it has been a very strange one because of COVID, and our experience has been very different, but nonetheless very satisfying so far.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because, look, all the families are so supportive of the lads and of the players, and everywhere they go, ye go,
yeah.
And you've been with them every step of the way.
Yeah.
Tell me about that first couple of matches maybe when it dawned that, look, we won't be able to go and it looks like that's not going to change anytime soon.
Well, it's funny. We watched, obviously, the Leitrim match, I think it was Forth in Roscommon. And I was saying, geez, it's an off pity we didn't have somebody in the graveyard in Roscommon because we could have gone in behind there, like, and, you know. But the Galway, the Roscommon match was fine because, obviously, in the second half, they did very well in the second half. But then the Galway match I found very difficult. And as a family, we found it difficult because Jim goes to everything, all the matches and everything else. And when Aidan picked up the cup after a very trying last 10 minutes, we did get very emotional. And I think a lot of the parents might have, because here we were, they were after coming over a hurdle that for 5 years they hadn't won the Nesta Cup, and all of a sudden he's there and there was nothing. And I found that difficult. But then you move on, he comes home and they come home and you're just delighted.
You can share the moment.
And
I'm just imagining there as you were talking in my mind's eye. I mean, you talk about people daring to dream, and sure, isn't that what keeps everybody going? But could you imagine if the unthinkable happened on Saturday week and Aidan gets to go up those steps and lift the other cup? I mean, can you allow yourself to think like that as a parent or as a mum, or is that something you have to wait and experience in the moment maybe?
No, I to be honest with you, as you say, we've been on this road a long time now, and you have to dare to dream. Why would they go out and play a game? And in every game they go out, they expect to win. Why would they do it otherwise?
Yeah.
You know. But as a parent, I suppose, having watched them, I look at it slightly differently, maybe to Jim, that I kind of go, he's into the purest of it, or the football of it, or whatever. Yeah. I'm there, and I'm saying, how will they deal with this if it doesn't work out?
Yes.
But I dare to dream. I absolutely dare to dream, and I may not be there when he walks up the steps of the Hogan Stand, but I believe he will.
Yeah.
And if I'm not there, I'll be using him in spirit.
What do you think you'll miss most, Sheila, yourself and Jim? What will you miss most about the All-Ireland final experience, or the All-Ireland final day experience, do you think?
One, family. You see, for us, Jim comes from a big family. And all over the years, all our families have been at all the matches.
Yeah.
Whether they're getting tickets or whether they're not, it for us, it's we gather.
Yeah.
And it, you know, people say, as you, we're obviously from Kerry, but I mean, most people gather for weddings and funerals.
Yeah.
Whereas we've gathered for Mayo matches for the last 10 years, and that I miss. I miss meeting people from Armagh and Ballyhaunis and Belmullet and the friends I've made. Yeah. I miss meeting them and, you know, knowing that on the morning we're all rooting for the same group of lads and we're all hoping for the same outcome.
Yeah.
I don't miss the pit of my stomach, or the pain in the pit of my stomach, or I don't miss my nerves.
You might have them anyway, though.
I have them anyway. Yeah, I will. Yeah.
And tell me, as somebody who's taught the four lads, and obviously Shamie and Aidan in the squad now, will all of this weirdness and COVID and no crowds and not being able to bring Sam Maguire Cup home, will that impact even the slightest bit if Mayo were to win the All-Ireland? Would it take any of the gloss or the shine off it, do you think?
Oh, not at all.
No.
Not at all. I think actually, in a way, COVID has made it even more special because we've no outlets. We have no... we can't go to matches. We can't do a lot of things. But... every Sunday, I mean, Sean's mother, the Lone Ackle, and they were, she was watching the match last Sunday, and she's well into her 80s, I think, is she? Everybody is tuned in because they can't be there.
Yeah.
And I think if they win on next Saturday week or whatever day it is, I don't know what day I have now, but whatever, I don't think it'll take away at all. I think there will be just an absolute and pure delight.
Yeah.
And as you say, you have to dare to dream.
Yeah.
And you have to hope that it will have a good and positive impact on our club and on our young lads and girls that are playing and on the boys and girls in the school.
Yeah.
And it does have a positive impact. They all associate with the community and with the school.
Yeah, I was that last question, I was going to say that to you. I mean,
having
been in so many All-Irelands, you're a fascinating company now, no more than Sean. I could stay here all day talking football. But, you know, in terms of all those All-Irelands, and it hasn't happened yet, and you see the kids here, how excited they are and how positive they are. Like, has there been any negative or downside at all to Mayo playing and losing all these All-Ireland, Sheila, over the years? I mean, it doesn't feel like it here, standing in the schoolyard this morning. These kids, they look at these lads as their heroes, you know.
I know, Mike, in fairness, like, it's been tough days. There have been tough days now, like, in all fairness.
I suppose,
yeah,
it's the innocence of youth, maybe.
It is, yeah. But, I mean, I know Martin Carney won't mind me mentioning Gina here. I remember her saying to me one time after they'd lost in All-Ireland, and she said, but Sheila, she said, I followed me in the 70s and we won nothing. We couldn't even get out of Connacht. Mm. So, really, we live... We're privileged. I'm privileged as a parent, like, and Sean's privileged as a teacher and a mentor or whatever. But we live in a time when Mayo football is at its peak, and it's a golden era. Okay, we didn't get past the final post yet, but the children, they're not looking. They're not all the time looking at, say, Man United, Liverpool. There's a core of lads from all over Mayo, young lads like Tommy Conroy and young McLaughlin and Oisín Mullen and those that have come on now, and we've young lads and young to look up to again, and I don't think that's any bad thing. And okay, maybe they won't win it, maybe they will, but I think the journey has been a very positive thing. I think so many people have benefited from their success, if that's what you want to use the word, but from their journey anyway. I do.
Guys, thank you very much for your time. And I must just mention before I stop recording, Sheila and Sean have made such an effort today. They've got dressed up in their red and green for the photographs for the Mayo News, and we really appreciate it. Thank you very much indeed.
Thanks, Mike.
Mick Foley's back on the podcast. Mick, you're going to help us just kick off the week. It's going to be a long week for us. You understand that, don't you?
Yeah, like, it's like any other year when you're in an All-Ireland final. It's always a long year or long week for Mayo. It's like, you know, every minute passes like an era, you know, and another remembering of 1951 and all the rest of it and everything that's gone on since, you know. So, you know, look, I don't know. I think when you're in an All-Ireland final, you know, you gotta relax and enjoy it. You know what I mean? I mean, don't worry about the outcome. You can't do anything about the outcome until you play the game, you know. So enjoy the fact that you got a shot at winning All-Ireland, and there we go.
I
put it this way, right, Rob? I'm in Cork, right? Like, we had the most incredible win of all time, like whatever, a month ago or whatever it was, right? So 5 weeks ago against Kerry.
Thanks for that.
And not a bother. And anytime. And, you know, the next thing, you know, we're all gunned up. We're all geared for a Munster final. And suddenly it's just taken away from you. Like, we didn't even, like, I think we did enjoy the Kerry win. But, you know, it was all taken away from us. The shot, like, you know. So, I mean, enjoy it now while you have it. Enjoy the possibilities. It's to enjoy the possibilities. This is what this week is about.
Well, listen, I text you to say, right, I'm going to set up this recording. And I tried to escape my shop and I couldn't escape the football chats. There's just, I can't walk 3 feet in this town right now without talking football. Everyone has a theory. We need a sweeper. We'll get into all this in a second. But we just heard from Sheila O'Shea, who couldn't represent the family element of the GA better in that one interview. It was beautiful. It was really, really nice to listen to. And what I liked about it, and I said it to you, what particularly stood out to me, and Sheila comes from Killorglin in Kerry, it was that moment when Mike was nearly saying, listen, what these lads are creating, it almost kind of goes beyond an All-Ireland medal. I know, hang on. And I kind of like it, because it is still about just winning an All-Ireland, isn't it?
Listen, you're talking to the wrong people if you're talking about romancing. Kerry people will romance away with you about football as long as they can. Geez, we've great respect for Mayo, and, you know, we always know what we're going to get with Mayo, and it's serious, serious stuff. But when it comes down to it, like, we want to win, and that's the bottom line. However and whenever. That's the bottom line with Kerry football teams and Kerry football people. So I'm not the least bit surprised, but it was lovely. You know, as you say, it was lovely. It's lovely to get that sense of what this is all about, especially at this end of the year. And, you know, we heard it at the hurling final at the weekend as well. You know, this whole sort of the sense that the hurlers of Limerick, and I'm sure the hurlers of Waterford as well, knew that they were doing something that was different to any other year, hopefully, that they'll ever experience as players. And that it means something different to people. And it's probably, to some degree anyway, it's given us a different sense of perspective about what the championship can mean for people. But at the same time, when you get to the finals aren't about wiping away the tears and kind of thinking, isn't it great we're here, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, and isn't it great we played it this far? You're fucking there to win, like. So, I mean, that's what it's about. And that's what Sheila's alluding to there. I mean, she's reared a family of high achievers there. So, like, I mean, you know, they know what it's all about. And, you know, they've done, I mean, the O'Shea's have done more than enough to have earned an All-Ireland medal, but they haven't won one yet. So that's, you know, that's the challenge for all the Mayo players now at the weekend, you know?
Yeah, and you think of players in other counties who've done it over the years, and, you know, for some reason, Declan Brown's name popped into my head there. You know, loads of players do more than enough to earn more than they get in sport. It's just an ever... You think of Sonia O'Sullivan. She did more than enough to earn more than she got, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, but it is what it is. It's the old kind of conversation that you'll have. Like, I mean, you know, if Mayo, whenever Mayo do win an All-Ireland and the you know, whatever, the 20 Turkey players who get the medals, like, doesn't make them any better than the guys who didn't, you know? Mm. I mean, and it's the same in Cork, it's the same in Dublin, it's the same even in Kerry. There's great players, one or two great players didn't win an All-Ireland.
Really?
Yeah.
Don't ask me.
As long as there are no more follow-up questions to that statement, I'll continue on. But like, there are, you know, there's oodles of examples. So, you know, I often, you know, when I think of medals and All-Irelands, do you know who I think of actually? And maybe you think of Declan Brown, I think of Seamus Moynihan. I remember talking to Seamus Moynihan in 2005. I think 04 was the year, obviously, Kerry beat Mayo. But Moynihan had problems with his ankle or his knee. I'm going to say his ankle. But I interviewed him the following summer before the start of the next championship. And we were talking about what he had to do to even make the squad for that All-Ireland final. And I mean, it was inhuman what he did and the amount of time and effort that he spent. And this is not unique to Seamus Moynihan, but like, I don't know that he gets even to play much of that game, if he played at all. But like, the fact that he had got there, that was the earning of the medal. Do you know what I mean? That he'd even got into the squad, which tells you, like, it's like, medals can mean loads of different things to different people, and it doesn't define a player. Medals will never define players. Like, I mean, when we think back on great Mayo players, I guarantee you, even if they win it on Saturday, we'll think of plenty of generational talents on that team. But there'll be loads of generational talents that never won one. I mean, Kieran MacDonald, you know, even the likes of an Alan Dillon, who, you know, I mean, Andy Morn. Oh, my God. I mean, even from the last 5 to 10 years. So, like, yeah, I mean, you know, going back to what Sheila was talking about, the family aspect, the continuation. I think the big legacy from this Mayo team and this Mayo decade, if you like, of the last 10 years, whether they win in All-Ireland or not, is that they have secured the future of Mayo football in the sense that they're already heroes. Like, I mean, some of the lads who are playing on Saturday, they're heroes. They're playing alongside their heroes. And not every county has that. Like, not every county has this continuation of guys to look up to and guys they want to be. So even without winning an All-Ireland, like, Mayo have done that. And that is common. That is common to some, to a lot, not all counties, but it's an exceptional thing to have achieved, you know, and that deserves kind of recognition. But she's absolutely right. Like, I mean, you know, lads have given everything to be the best they can be. And the best you can be in Gaelic football is to win an All-Ireland medal. And when you have the chance, when you have so many chances, you want to take one.
Edwin has been saying to me that maybe we need to push back a little bit against this continuing narrative of, God, it's great to be there and savour the moment. And you don't, you know, Mayo mightn't get to an All-Ireland final for a long time to come. But he's beginning to wonder whether this younger group of players that have come through underlines maybe a new theory that Mayo have established themselves as a more consistent, higher level force than they would have been pre-James Horan, pre-2011, when they could have dipped as far as losing to Longford or Derry or so on and so forth. Whereas now it's less likely that Mayo go out to a side outside of Kerry, Dublin, Donegal at the end of the summer, so to speak.
Yeah, he's right. Like, I mean, I think they made that jump a bunch of years ago, though. I mean, I think the fact that they're so consistent in Division 1, obviously, look, they got relegated this year.
Oops, yeah.
but, like, look, the fact that they've been there, and, like, even within Division 1, right, even within Division 1, there's a subset. Like, so you have the top six of whom Mayo would have been a part, and then you've got the two that tend to come up and come down. And, you know, so that top six have been hothoused together for years at this stage, and it's part of the reason, in my opinion, it's part of the reason why the championship is a bit banjaxed on some levels. You know, we need to go back to 1A, 1B, 2A, 2B, where
the
likes of a Tipperary, if they did get into if Tipperary, for example, got into the current A Division 2, if you had 1A, 1B, then Tip would have the possibility of playing a Tyrone or a Mayo or a Kerry, maybe not a Kerry, they see enough of them, but a Tyrone or a Mayo, whatever, just to get them up to speed. When you hot hose the top six together, this is what you get. And Mayo, absolutely, Mayo are they're a more consistent force than they ever were, really. I suppose the kind of the way it's been framed is that this is a brand new Mayo team. And I've been part of that as well, the kind of conversations I've had, that this is a new Mayo team and stuff. When you actually drill into it, there's plenty of experience there. Like Stephen Cohen has plenty of ball played with Mayo, the likes of him. There's no problem there with experience. You look down into the bench, it's there probably more so now than Mayo ever had. They've got a bench that's fairly decent, assuming that the starting 15 do their stuff as well. So yeah, there's a continuation there. It's the same thing. Mayo All-Ireland defeats have ceased to be the stuff of catastrophe, you know. They're devastatingly disappointing, of course, for Mayo, and they're disappointing for the players. But the idea, I would say, the idea of 96, 97, 04, 06, that's long gone. Like that is kind of like, if Mayo lose, there's like just this blank crater of a shell left in the ground. And what do we do next? Well, what do you do next? You do the same as you did this year. You go again, you know, and you try to be better. That's the whole process mentality that Horn in particular would have brought in. And that generation of players, more importantly, bought into what he was trying to do. Like, in terms of creating an environment of best practice and displaying the effects of best practice and what needs to be done, I mean, it's there. And I mean, you know, there's been some schmazzling at county board level, obviously, in the last couple of years. I mean, by the look of some of the appointments Mayo have made in the last 6 months and some of the work they've been doing behind the scenes, you get the sense of a county that has a good idea of the kind of structures they need to put in place long term. I mean, look at Limerick on Sunday winning the All-Ireland hurling. I mean, their structures for any middle-sized county are a sight to behold, and they are achievable. Now, people will argue, well, they've got JP McManus behind them, they've got UL and they've LIT and so on. But like, you know, similar facilities are available all over the country. So for the likes of Mayo, I mean, Mayo are a classic case of a county that could look at what Limerick hurlers have done in terms of the hurling academy, in terms of the pathways, in terms of the complete and utter lack of ego that appears to exist within the elite coaching structure there. And I'm not saying that it exists in Mayo. I'm just saying in terms of best practice. If they're looking where to go next.
Here's the thing about Limerick. I one of my heroes within the Irish sphere of sport is Caroline Courage. I just think she's fantastic. I've heard her speak and I think she's brilliant. And she's there in the background and she's working on a mindset. So if I could get a simple analogy, and it's probably too simplistic, but Limerick felt like Mayo in terms of the way they dealt with the big day. And, you know, even the way they won the All-Ireland, it felt like the way Mayo would win an All-Ireland. They virtually collapsed against Galway, but somehow held on. And now there's a theory out there, and I've heard it from players like even Andy Moran saying that if we win one, we can go on. And what was so encouraging about yesterday, even though we all wanted the underdog, probably if we're not from Limerick, was just to see, God, Limerick have matured now. They've taken that All-Ireland title, and now they're... And I wonder how much of that is a psychological thing. That's why I brought up Caroline, and whether that's an element Mayo have to still work on, I don't know.
From a Mayo perspective, I don't know, because I don't know enough about the sort of behind the scenes back room, you know, who's pulling the strings in terms of that side of things. But I think in the broader sense of it, I mean, if you had asked me 10 years ago, 5 years ago, what hurling team would I least expect to build an empire? It would have been Limerick or Waterford, right? Because they're so emotional. And I mean, Wexford also are a highly emotional beast when they get going. But Limerick in particular, like if you look back at Limerick's history, apart from the 1930s, Limerick have come and they've had two or three good years, the odd decade here and there. And a bit like Mayo, they have this reputation as being this great hurling stronghold. And Mayo is a great football stronghold, which it is. But like when you look at the actual return on being a football stronghold, it's not that hectic.
Yeah.
It's just not. So like, so in that way, what's this? What are Limerick doing differently? Limerick basically just went at it in a way 10 years ago. They set up structures. They got the best people they could find in to be coaches. They got former players involved, really important. And yes, they had an aspect. I mean, before Caroline Curd, if you go back, I mean, Dr. Anya McNamara, who's an associate professor now for elite performance in DCU, she was there at the very, very beginning of the Limerick project, sort of helping to frame that kind of, I suppose, for the macro. I mean, Caroline Curd deals with the micro, with the senior hurlers. But you had the likes of Anya McNamara dealing with the macro, talking to all the coaches and saying, you know, basically, there was one night she asked him, are you here to win? She had every single coach from under 14 up to senior, including John Allen, who was the coach at the time, in a room. First time it ever happened. And she said, how many of you are here to win? And all the hands went up, apart from the minor manager, Shane Fitzgibbon, who had heard this question been asked before at a previous talk by Declan Kidney. And they all put their hands up. And she said, none of you, apart from John Allen, the senior manager, should be here to win. You're here to develop players so that John Allen can win. That's the point. That's the idea. It's not about win. Who cares how many minors you win? You know, the best club. I know we're going miles off the point here now, but the best.
I know
club,
it's relevant.
The best club teams in Ireland, traditionally speaking, look at Nemo Rangers down here. Like Nemo have a policy for donkey's years that anybody, let's say you've got an under 16 team, right? Everybody gets a game, every game, even if it's a county final. If they manage to get to a county final, everybody gets a game. And their record at underage level in Cork is relatively poor compared to their senior record. But the point is that they keep guys involved from a club level. They keep guys involved and interested and engaged and connected. And, you know, it's the same. We say when you go up to the elite level, if you've got an attitude in your coaching culture that we are going to follow best practice here and we are going to continue to develop players. And if we want to get them to the big days, because so they can have that experience. So when they go to senior, they'll have that in their locker. I'm not actually about winning the All-Ireland Minor or the All-Ireland 20s or whatever. It's about getting them to Croke Park so they can be in Croke Park before the day that we want them to win, which is the senior All-Ireland. I wonder how many Mayo players going back the years benefited from that, you know? And I think it's the way, if you're talking about sustaining it, I think there's something in that. If Mayo can look at that, I think every county needs to look at Limerick, I think, now, outside of Dublin, because we're all talking about, well, how do we bridge the gap to Dublin? And it's a multifaceted debate, but one aspect is, well, what can we do best? And I think Limerick, in lots of ways, show what individual counties can do for themselves.
Brilliant. Come here. There's a, you know, we haven't been dancing around this topic because we haven't even gone near it. But there, you and I both know something that we both really don't believe that Mayo have all that much of a chance at the weekend, because we talked about it off the air. Now, me saying that will shock people because Rob's supposed to be the positive presenter of this podcast. But this is my first admission. I'm sorry. First of all, Mick, from an outside perspective, am I a lesser Mayo man for suggesting that? Would the Mayo players look at me and go, yeah, why did you doubt us? I doubt they would somehow. But you know what I'm saying? You feel guilty as a fan sometimes when you doubt your team. But I doubt my team.
No, that's okay. I think that's all right. I think all fans doubt their team. I mean, to be brutally honest with you, the guy that comes up to Dublin with the jersey on and the Viking hat and the face painted, absolutely, totally, and utterly convinced that their team was going to win, and they've been banging on like that all week, that's the guy you want to avoid, like. And the one you want to talk to is the one who's kind of going, you know, geez, like, I mean, we have this, but they have that, you know. How do we conquer that and make the best of what we have, and so on and so forth? That's, you know, that's common sense. I mean, yes, I think it's like all these things. We can talk this out, and I can make a very good case for Mayo really going for it, right? And being the only team this year that will push Dublin to the wire. But ultimately, I'm going to tell you that Dublin are going to win. I tell you what it's like. Myself and Kieran Shannon, who worked for the Examiner now, Kieran worked for the Tribune for donkeys of years, and we'd have a conversation every time Cork played Kerry for the last, I don't know, for about 10, 15 years. We would have a conversation the Wednesday before the Cork-Kerry game. It was like a ritual. And like back in the noughties, they played all the time, All-Ireland semi-finals and everything. But we would always have a conversation. And most of the time, it came down to the standard Cork-Kerry prediction, which is Kerry by 4. That's the standard, right? You need something exceptional to happen to move away from that, right? And it's the same on Saturday. Like, the standard prediction will be Dublin to win by anything between 4 and 10, right? So for something to happen, for something different to happen, Mayo are going to have to do something exceptional. Okay? It's not beyond them, but it will be exceptional. Like, it will be completely exceptional. I think every player, you know, players aren't fools. Like, I mean, they go on about this old, we don't read the papers, we don't listen to blah blah. You have to. You know, you do listen. You're interested in football. You know, people are having conversations. You can block it out as much as you want, but they, even if they block it out, they know themselves. They know that if they don't play absolutely to their maximum on Saturday, they're going to get absolutely wiped. You know, and that's the bottom line, because Dublin don't have to play to their maximum to wipe teams. It's just how it is. So
have Mayo, did the 2016 and 17 versions of Mayo surprise you? And to such an extent that you think their performances were exceptional and therefore were Mayo unfortunate? What's your thoughts on that?
I think that they didn't surprise me on one level, because that time you had Stephen Rochford 16-17 coming off the back of the Cora Finn experience, right? He's a really, really good coach, right? And he's a really, really good thinker on the game. People will automatically, when you think of it, they'll go to Robbie Henley and Dave Clark and all that stuff, right, from the replay in 16. But like, look at all the other stuff that he did, you know, to get Mayo there. I mean, stuff like putting Aidan O'Shea back at fullback on Donaghy, the Alan Dillon move against Tyrone. Like the first day in 2016, I was only looking at it last week. They held Dublin to 2-9 or 6. Who got the goal?
2-9 in the game. And the two goals came in that first half, didn't they? Yeah.
Yeah. So like, but it was like their top four, Dublin's top four scorers in 2016. He put four man markers on him. He held him to 2 points from play. The four of them only had 9 shots, right? That's fab. That's fabulous, right? Mm. And 17 then, 17 was an evolution again. You also had Donny Buckley involved that time. I can remember that time. Like, every turnover was like, it was huge. And Mayo made a lot of turnovers. Like, a monster Dublin. I mean, in 2017, after all the hoo-ha about Dave Clark and Rob Henley and all that, Clark got his start in 17, and Mayo actually won more of their own kickouts than Dublin did. Like, before halftime in the 17 final, there was, you know, emissaries were being sent onto the field to talk to Stephen Cluxton. That never happens, like, but Mayo did that. So, I mean, I think, and 2017 to me was the perfect blend of what Mayo had that time, which was, number one, they had the concentration on the opposition. What do we need to do to stop them? But also, when you look at when Mayo have upset Dublin for the last 10 years, it's been when Mayo have played to their absolute strengths. Hard running, athleticism, power, breaking tackles, not being pushed out to the wings, going, finding gaps down the middle and upsetting Dublin. They matched them. They married all those things in 2017. But even then, there was a 1 or 2 percentage points across the game that, you know, if this happened, if that ball went over, if that one didn't drop short, if such and such had pointed this or that or other, they were a point away, like. So to me, that 2017 final is the greatest Mayo performance I've ever seen, and they didn't win. So, like,
yeah, I agree.
And Dublin have moved on now. I mean, Mayo scored 116 that day, I think, right? Mm. That would have been enough to win the previous 9 All-Ireland finals, right? Previous 9, I think. Since then, we've had 3 All-Ireland finals, if you include the draw and the replay last year. It would have drawn one of them and it would have lost the other two. So that tells you that Dublin have gone on again now. They've moved on again. So have Mayo moved on again from 2017? I don't think so, but they certainly have the players and they have the way of playing that has the potential to really, really bother Dublin. Whether it's going to beat them or not, as I say, that requires something exceptional. That will need Tommy Conroy scoring 1-3 or 1-4 from play, someone else popping in with a goal, and, you know, the Mayo backs having the game of their lives at the other end as well. But these are all things that we know that has to happen. That's not revelatory stuff, you know, for either the players to hear or for anybody to hear, I would have thought. Whoever's going to beat Dublin is going to have, whether it's Kerry or Mayo or Tyrone or probably Cork, really, at the end of the day. I think we all know that's going to happen.
Yeah, It's coming.
It's going to be this year, but maybe next year. So, you know, we're going to have the game of their careers, you know, to win.
Brilliant. Do you know, I was thinking there, if I graph the journey of Mayo fans listening to your conversation there at the start, when you were talking about 16 or 17, everyone was feeling fantastic. We were all like, oh, this is, yeah, he spotted how well we played. And then you just went, but the last three All-Ireland finals would have drawn one of them. Everyone yeah. sunk. That's the reality, like, though. We know, we love, do you know what? I'll put this to you kind of as we finish this, get to a conclusion. I just wanted to say to you, and see what you think of this. What I feel, and I think it represents a lot of people, is we know there's still the remnants of some of the class elements of the great Mayo side there. Aidan O'Shea, Killian O'Connor, Kevin McLaughlin, yada, yada. As well as that, we're very, very enthused by the fact that the young lads that back in the winter weren't sure where they were, and a lot of people would have predicted Galway to win Connacht, came out and were the best Connacht team, comfortably enough overall, I think. And then backed it up with a big, big attacking performance against Tip that even with the defensive performance has left us feeling better about ourselves. And we're looking to the future and thinking, wow, that's a good batch of young lads coming through. So we feel good right now on that front. But exactly like you say, because it's not the old warriors and the old troops that we know that are backboning the majority of the team, we're super, there's super amounts of uncertainty and ergo probably a little bit of pessimism if we're being honest.
It goes both ways. Like, you know, they're, these guys now, these young fellas, like the Tommy Conroys and the Owen McLaughlins and these chaps, they're like, this is their first shot at this, like, you know? So, I mean, I'm sure that Tommy Conroy does not give two hoots what went on in 2016, 17, 2012 is another world away. And I mean, anything before that doesn't even exist, like. So, you know, that's the nature of sport too, and teams, you know, they evolve and new lads come in and they're kind of go, yeah, well, you know, I don't know, like, I wasn't here in 2016 or 17. I don't know what went right or wrong, you know? But, like, it's, they're a good, they're a very, very good group of guys. And I think, I know I've mentioned Tommy Conroy a couple of times now. To me, he is the one, you know, he is the one that Mayo have needed for a long, long time. You know, now the question is whether the rest of the team is strong enough to support him and Killian in particular. Like, Killian had, you know, He had a Matt Connor day the last day, like, you know, just kicking points and kicking frees and getting his goals. It was an amazing performance, brilliant performance. But to win an All-Ireland, you're going to, unfortunately for Killian, you know, Mayo, I will always expect him to deliver a large chunk of scores. It's where the other bit of magic will come from. Like, to me, Mayo have gotten hurt by bits of magic in the past. Like, I think of Michael Murphy in 2012, Conn last year, a couple of fast goals, even Bernard Brogan stabbing one in, Cormac Costello coming off the bench, 3 points, bang, you know. Mayo's greatest wins, even Donaghy in 2014, I think he played like 3 minutes of championship football before he came on.
We had them beaten. They were beaten in that. We had them well beaten. And then, bang.
The thing about Mayo is, like, to me, in my opinion, is that their great, great wins have been triumphs of industry. They've been collective triumphs. They're traditionally down the years, and I'm not saying it hasn't happened. Of course, they've had moments, Lee Keegan running through to score goals, but they've rarely had that, like, magic spark. Someone just, Christ, lads, we need a goal. Who's going to get a goal? Huh? Jesus, we just scored a goal. That you rarely get that with Mayo. So Tommy brings that, I think, right? And particularly in his first year. I mean, Dublin will have him analysed to death, but he's still a new phenomenon for them. So absolutely every right to be optimistic about these young lads. And I very strongly believe, I'm pretty sure that, you know, and if he hasn't, I'd question why he hasn't, that James Horan has probably been shaping this team for Dublin since the beginning of the league in January, February. That everything that they have done has been calibrated for the Dubs. The question I'd have from that side of things is, I mean, I felt like a right idiot. I came out of the Tipperary game going, yeah, James, just let the ship burn there for about 25 minutes. So the Dubs, just not to show the Dubs anything. But, like, then there'll surely be fellas drop back. And then I was coming home and a couple of conversations with far wiser men than I, and they all reminded me that James Horan doesn't do sweepers. They don't do men dropping back, really. They don't. I mean, guys drop back, but they don't do it in the way that other teams would do against Dublin. So, like, there's going to be a huge onus on individuals to front up now on Saturday, which I think is a big ask, frankly. I think it's a really big ask. That defence is, to me, is a bit rickety, to say the least. It's a work in progress. That midfield has a an interesting look about it. I'm curious to see, because again, I do feel that they've been thinking about Dublin. So I'm curious to see how he's going to set that up. Will Dermot O'Connor go in and just tag Fenton all day? Is it going to be Matty Ruan? I don't know. And I'm curious to see. And as I said, I think there's great potential in the forwards. I think there's tremendous potential there. Again, though, they're going to be coming up against a level of defender that they haven't met yet this year. And that's the big question. But stick a branch in the spokes. Early goal. Might be snowing. I was talking to Bernard Brogan last week and he said to me, we don't know. Could be snowing. Who knows, you know?
Do they have an orange ball if it comes to that? Like watching the FA Cup in 1990s.
I always think when I was a kid of watching, I remember watching York City and Arsenal at Bootham Crescent in an FA Cup match where it was like the pitch was white. They had the lines and an orange ball. So, yeah, we might get one of those games.
Times.
Sure, look at the weather. Look, it's and the pitch, actually, funny enough, Rob, the pitch on Sunday for the hurling wasn't in great, Nick. And I know it's no fault of anybody. It's just the amount of traffic that's been on it. I don't know whether that makes a difference to anybody, but certainly maybe if it's going to be wet, you know, the underfoot conditions for guys moving at top speed mightn't be the best. So that might, well, I don't think it'll, I probably won't help either team because Mayo are going to want to play pell-mell as well. So, look, it's going to be interesting, but as you say, it's kind of hard to get beyond the inevitable. But listen, this is sport.
I was just going to summarize it there. I was going to say, so Mayo by five, right?
Yeah, Mayo, if you like. Like look, this is sport. Like, this is why we watch. Who knows? I mean, we could all be sitting there after 20 minutes and Mayo have two or three goals slapped in, a couple of stupid mistakes in the back line. Dublin are kind of going, looking at each other going, what the hell? One thing that struck me, actually, before I forget, about Jack McCaffrey's interview last week, actually, on
a lot of people talking about it.
He spoke about sort of the just kind of not feeling it, you know, when it came to it, not feeling it. I wonder when Dublin are again in a brawl of a match, like if Mayo get in their grill, if they just snarl and get the game to that point where Mayo are winning turnovers and they're really just driving into them. Like, how will Dublin feel? Is there players on that Dublin team who might just get that sense of, oh, Jesus, it's been a long decade, you know? Who knows? Could happen. It's happened to better. It's happened to great teams in the past. So all Mayo can do is go. Play the game they want to play it. Be conscious of what they need to do at the other side. But it's an All-Ireland final and just leave everything on the pitch and just see where it takes you.
Thanks, Mick.
No bother, man.
GRG Sports are proud sponsors of this podcast. Kit out your team today. Bespoke team sportswear designed by players for players. Be game, be ready, be geared. Check out GRG's website at grgsports.com.
We're picking up a copy of the Mayo News this week, of course, more than ever though, John, because it's an All-Ireland final preview supplement. I love them.
Yeah, we've had so many of them, haven't we? I think it's 28 All-Ireland series games we have played in the last decade. And I think I've Virgil DeBurka to thank for that particular stat because he did a brilliant piece on the blog the other day about Killian O'Connor's scoring stats. But, you know, I think back to what I was saying on the previous episode, where, you know, from 69 to 81, we didn't win Connacht, so therefore we didn't play an All-Ireland Championship game at all. So we have been spoiled, and certainly we've been spoiled with All-Ireland supplements as well.
I've just wanted to say this. Didn't make it to the All-Ireland semi-final myself because podcast couldn't get a pass. It's not something that we're in particular battle with the GA over. We have a request in for the final for the podcast to have a slot there so we can document events, and we hope it'll go through. But I just wanted to kind of acknowledge that there's a chance, and perhaps even a 50-50 chance, that I won't be there myself. There's a couple of things I want to say on that. A, I do think we should be there, and I do think we have a very strong case. I would suggest that some people probably look upon us and our jobs as a privilege at this time, and I do understand that, but it is our job to be there and to document the event. I don't think I want to be there as a fan. I think I want to be there as someone who has, through this podcast, documented Mayo football since 2009. And it's just disappointing that I won't get the opportunity to do that. Having said that, it is something that I'm very proud of, that the team that are involved in this are so have so much buy-in to what we're trying to do, that even if I wasn't there and able to focus on the podcast directly, they were doing other jobs. They still were able to produce such a brilliant post-game podcast against Tipperary. Obviously, I was back in studio editing together. You know yourself, John, you've stepped in a few times when I wasn't there to do the same job. But I do think that's always a good sign for a project, that if maybe one person has to step out, if the project still can be 100% to what it is. So hopefully that'll be the case at the weekend. And I just think that was something I took away from the semi-final. I was like, disappointed not to be there, but delighted with the show the lads produced.
But apart from anything else, there's absolutely no way that episode would have gone out on the Sunday night, you know, because, I mean, not only did the lads do Trojan work in terms of getting all of the voices, and they got such an array of voices in Croke Park that evening, but it all had to be stitched together, and that was your good self that did that, you know. So there was a huge amount of front office and back office work, if you like, in pulling that together.
Right, to finish, Henton Dad, it's a big week. We have lots of guests coming up. Billy Joe Padden lined up. Kevin McStay lined up. We have a big show on Friday as well, John. The blog is busy as well. You're getting some great guest posts. You mentioned one already. Lots to look forward to this week, no doubt.
I think we're all in a weird place. I mean, there's no way around that, in that I think one half of our brains were kind of focused on Christmas and the other half on the All-Ireland final. So it is a weird week for sure. But I do think people are enjoying the build-up. Because I think there's an absence of atmosphere in the lead up to the All Ireland. I think that also takes the pressure out of it as well. And I think we're all benefiting from that, because certainly I found before 16 and 17, every day you got closer to the final, got more and more stressful. And by the day of the match itself, there's a total bag of nerves. So, and then of course we had to do it twice in 2016. So I'm finding it quite relaxing thus far, anyway. We'll see. We can check in again on Friday and see how I'm feeling then. But it certainly is. I think it's a nice lead in so far.
All right. Well, you know, I'll finish on that, except to say I do think, you know, that is the one key takeaway for me, is people are asking me, well, are there flags up everywhere? Well, there are some great things being done. There's some really cool bunting up and flags and people doing fun stuff. But by and large, no, it's different. The one thing that I don't think is different is in people's minds, they want this All-Ireland as much as ever. And there's no denying that. They all are probably more realistic. Every All-Ireland's different. The shape to this one is a little bit different than previous ones. Maybe there's not as much hope as there was in other ones. I don't know. There's a little bit of hope, though. And people are really, really into this. So I do guarantee this, that every single Mayo football fan in the world will be sitting in front of the telly with those pre-match nerves come through in. Everything else around it will be a little bit different. And it won't be the same for a lot of people. But I think once that ball's thrown in, game on. Let's do this.
Oh yeah, look at, you're in it, we're in it, we want to win it. And this one is absolutely no different in that respect.
John, I'll talk to you on Friday.
Good stuff, Rob. Cheers. Now for the Christmas tree.
Maybe I'll get one of those. We'll see. I don't know where I'll have the time for it.